Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
If you have your Bibles today, turn to James chapter 1. And then we want to look at the fourth point. It's in verse 5 through 8. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And that point is count on God in your trials. Count on God in your trials. You know, I'm a positive thinker. I'm positive I can do nothing on my own. But I'm positive that Philippians 4:11 through 13, what did Paul say? He said, I've learned to abound. I've learned to be abased. I've learned to be hungry. I've learned to be full. I've learned to be poor. I've learned to be rich. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. He said, I can do all things through Christ. Not I can do all things, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I'm positive. I can't do anything, but my positive thinking is that I can do all things through Christ. Amen? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you and me. Psalms 46, 1 through 3 says, God is our refuge and strength. I think that was where the song came from this morning. Call on His name. He said, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You know, God is willing and able to help those who turn to Him no matter what the situation. You just got to ask. You have not because what? Ask not. You got to count on God. You know, Philippians 4, verse 6 through about 8 says that be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication and everything give thanks. He said because you're not to be anxious about anything because, you know, God's going to be there. He said He won't always change your situation, but He'll change you, right? And I kind of skipped over that under point 4, but the reasons for your trials, you know, a lot of times what do? We get into trial and we say, God, do what? Get me out of the trial. Remove that person. Remove that sickness. Remove that thing. But we got to remember the results, the reasons for our trials. God's working on us. But you know, instead of praying, God, get me out of the trial, we need to pray, God, get me, what can I get out of the trial? Not get me out of the trial, but what can I get out of the trial? What do you want me to get out of the trial? What do you want me to learn? You know, God wants us to learn something during trials, doesn't He? And that's what He says here. He says, pray for wisdom. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make right decisions based on knowledge. Now, I had a friend of mine, I don't know if I've told y'all before, but him and his brother together, they were they could have been a genius. The younger brother, he had common sense at the yin-yang. The older brother, he's probably got 4 or 5 degrees by now. But when his car caught on fire, he called my dad and said, what'd I do? Well, he was out of it, but you know, he ran to the store and called my dad. He says, call the fire department. You know, by that time, the car's burned up. You know, it's totaled. And so, you know, but the two of them together, they were genius. But this guy, he's pretty smart, but he can't apply up here what he's got here down to here. And that's wisdom. Wisdom is, you know, you can fill your head with all the knowledge in the world. But if you can't apply it, what good is it? That's wisdom. And God says if anybody lacks wisdom, it's the ability to make right decisions during the hard times. We might not get the answer why the trial happened, but ultimately we know because it's God making us like Him. But you know, but He will give us the wisdom to make the right decisions during the trial. And we need to remember that, because if we don't ask for wisdom from God, we're going to make some bad decisions in this trial. And so we need to count on God in our trials. I mean, what does He say? He says, anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He says he gives to all, not just a few. Peter said, I think Acts 10:34, he said, I perceive that God has no respecter of persons. God looks at each and every one of us as on equal footing if we know him as Lord and Savior. And he says, let all ask, and he'll give us liberally. He'll give us generously, abundantly. Ephesians 3:20 says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power that works in us mightily. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then he says without reproach. He doesn't say, oh, here comes Marty again. Man, what's wrong with that guy? Man, is he ever going to get it right? Oh, come on, ask one more time. But he says, come on, Marty. If you need wisdom, ask, and I'll give it to you. And so he says the same thing to you, to me. Ask of God, and he will give it to us liberally and without reproach. But then he says in verse 6, let him ask in faith. You know, faith is what? The confidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. But you know, it means that we believe, and we know God's going to do it no matter what. And we know that God's always going to be there for us, that he'll never leave us, never forsake us. But he says, ask with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And so he says, ask. Don't doubt, but believe God's going to give you the wisdom to get through the circumstance you're in. He says, don't doubt, because you're like that wave of the sea that's tossed to and fro. He says, but let not the man that's supposed that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You know, what do? A lot of times we'll kind of throw up a half-hearted prayer to God, and then we'll go ask all our friends, what do you think I should do? Is God going to give me the answer? Or is my friends going to give me the answer? Sometimes he'll use my friends to give me an answer. But you know what? God can give me the answer better than anybody. And so I need to count on God. That double-minded man, when the trials come, he's going to start looking other directions. You know, I think about the times that I've been that place. You know, I've tried to go over, around, under, through people and circumstances, places, things. And I've just made a mess of it, made a hash of it. When you trust God, you remember he opens doors no man can shut, shuts doors no man can open. And we just have to remember that God's in control. Man, if he's got you in the fire, he's got you in the furnace, and he's working on you, you're not getting out till he's through. So we need to say, God, what do you want me to get out of this trial? And count on him during the trial. You know, sometimes it feels like we've been hung out to dry, right? It feels like God's not there. He's not answering. It's whatever. But you know, God's always there. He wants us to have that faith, to trust him, to ask him, to believe in him no matter what the situation looks like. He'll answer. He might not give you the answer you want, but he'll give you what you need. And then the fifth point we want to talk about is in verses 9 through 11. Consider the way you react to trials. Consider the way you react to trials. It says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. You know, I said a minute ago that at the foot of the cross, we're all equal, right? Rich, poor, whatever. But he says, the rich in his humiliation. I believe God, you know, he says, you know, I said a minute ago that one of these words means to be up under. You know, when you're under this test, you're to be under that, under God, and you'd be dismissive, and you'd let God work in your life, and you'd let him do the things he wants to do in your life. And as we're under that control, under that authority, you know, what was that verse? And I think it's 1 Peter 5. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Glory, because God loves you. God's going to take care of you. He's going to be there for you. Whether you're poor or whatever, just remember, God always had a special place for the poor. But you know what he says also to the rich? He says sometimes the rich will be humble, because why? They're trusting in their money. They're trusting in their things. But as we've seen this past couple of weeks with Louisiana and some of the other things that keep happening in this world, that nothing's certain. Nothing. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, I said a minute ago, when you fall into trials, they happen suddenly. They happen quickly, without warning. And that money you had, that house, all those things that you're trusting in, gone. Bam. We need to trust in God. He says, let the poor man trust in God. Let the rich man trust in God. Because he says, as a flower of the field, he will pass away. We all die. We need to trust in God. He says, no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat than it withers the grass, its flowers fall, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. You know, it's a reminder that our eternal status, not our earthly status, should be our mindset. I keep hearing people say, you know, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't believe that's possible. If you're heavenly minded, you're going to be earthly good. Man, you're going to be working for God. You're going to be doing all kinds of things for God because you're going to realize that it's all about that. It's all about Him. And we need to remember that. It's not about our pursuits, our things, our stuff, but it's about Him. And so remember that. And then the last point we want to talk about this morning is in verse 12. Consider the rewards of your trials. Consider the rewards of your trials. Like I said, the man, he said, blessed. This is like Matthew 5, right? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. The Beatitudes, right? And he says, blessed is the man. The word blessed is the word we're joyful, we're happy, but we're not happy because of circumstances, because the world's happy because of its circumstances. I mean, that's what the word hap means. It means luck. But we're happy, we're joyful because we know that God's in control, that we're in the hand of God, that He's protecting us, He's taking care of us. And yeah, we go through trouble and we go through trials, but in the end, it's going to be worth it all. And God's going to do the things He needs to do in our life to make us like Him. And then one day when we get to heaven, man, it's going to be awesome. That's what He says, blessed is the man who endures trials. Or He says, for when he has been approved. Remember I said that word a minute ago was dokimos, testing of your faith produces patience. You know, when you've been through the fire and you've come out and you didn't crack, like all them people I talked about at the hospital, they cracked because they weren't standing on the rock. They weren't standing on Jesus Christ, and their anchor didn't hold. It pulled loose, and they were drifting aimlessly. But He says, when He has been approved, He will receive the crown of life, the crown which is life. We're going to receive eternal life. Like I said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. But if you know Jesus Christ, who is the overcomer? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And then He says, it's promised to those who, what? Love Him. Those that love Him. It's promised to you and me. If we love Jesus Christ, we know Him as our Lord and Savior. That's who He promises it to. He doesn't promise all these things to people that don't know Him. But He promises these things to the people who know Him. So, you know, I want to ask you today, in a time of crisis, how do you react? Are you asking, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Are you angry at God or others? In denial, saying, this can't be happening to me? Are you depressed? Are you preparing for trials? How do you prepare for a trial? You pray, you study the Word, and then when the trial comes, you say, God, what do you want me to learn out of this? What do you want me to do? And God will show you. You know, it's just, if you take that first step with God and step out with the little bit you know, God will show you where to put the second foot. He's not going to leave you hanging. My sister, she used to do a lot of these cross-stitch things, and Y'all seen some of those things? The cross stitch, you know, they're sort of like paint by numbers, but they're stitched by numbers. You know, green here, one stitch, yellow, and then you go over 10 and, you know, all these things. And She used to have a lot of these things around. And, you know, you ever looked at the bottom of one of those things? It's a frayed, ugly, knotted-looking mess, isn't it? It's nasty-looking. You know, but I think a lot of times that's the way we are. You know, we're down here, and we're looking up going, God, what are you doing? Man, this thing's crazy. What's up? My whole world's falling apart. What are you doing? And all we see is that frayed, ugly, knotted-looking mess. But up at the top, God's got his little stitch. He's putting one stitch at a time right where he needs it. And he's forming a beautiful picture out of you and me. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. If he doesn't, who does? It sure ain't me. Sure ain't me. No, that's not good English, but he sure ain't me. So, you know, I Jeremiah 29:11, you know, God, what did he say? He said, for I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts for a hope and a future, for prosperity, not for destruction and despair. I mean, if God's for you, who could be against you? You know, all through the Bible, there's stories of men and women who have been what the world would consider victims. But what have they become? Victors through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said that the wind that blows one ship safely in the harbor destroys another one on the rocks. There's a little poem, I can't quote it all, but the last part of it, I think it says it's the set of the sails and not the gales that determines the course. You know, we got to have the right attitude. Like I said, I'm not a positive thinker. I'm not a positive attitude person, but I'm positive if I trust in God and have my attitude pointed towards Him, realizing that He's in control, that everything's going to be according to His purposes, and I'm going to be in the places He wants to be me to be until I'm through, then it's all going to be okay, right? It's all going to be okay. Was that Matthew 7:24-27? It talks about whoever hears these sayings and does them is likened to the wise man that builds his house on the rock. You know, but he says there was the man that built his house on the sand. And he said that man's house, when the winds and the trials and the troubles and the things of life came, he got washed away, didn't he? But the man that was house was built on the rock, it stood. And that rock is Jesus Christ. You know, there's a song, I love it. Wish we could sing it today, you know, at the end, but the anchor holds. It says, oh, the sails are torn. The ship is battered, but the anchor holds. And my rock, my anchor is Jesus Christ. And I hope today and pray that He's yours too. And if you don't know Him, you need to trust Him and ask Him to forgive you, ask Him to save you. But if you know Him today, you need to take these principles. You need to count it all joy when you fall into trials. You need to consider the results of your trials. Consider the reasons for your trials. Count on God in your trials. Consider the way you react to trials. And lastly, remember the ultimate reward of your trials. That one day, God has a place for you, and He has a place for me that He's gone and prepared. And He's going to reward us for those who have trusted Him and follow Him during this life. The closer we get to Jesus, and the more like Him we become in this life, the better heaven's going to be. It's not going to be the same for all of us. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know, some little lady in the back that we don't even know who she is, she might be back there praying, and she might be sitting up there close to King Jesus. And we might be sitting way down there, we can't even hardly see Him, you know. That won't be true because we'll all be able to see Him, but we won't be in that place because we haven't done. And so I want to ask you today, where do you stand today? How are you reacting to trials? And what is God doing in your life? You know, today I just want to invite each and every one of y'all today to make some kind of decision today. Maybe you're in the trial. Maybe you're going through the trial, and Maybe this message has helped you today. Maybe you're just came out of the trial. And maybe you're thinking the trial's not going to happen to me. But believe me, trials are going to come. Trouble's going to come. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so I want to ask you today to follow these principles in James 1 through 12. And whatever decision God has laid on your heart today, I don't know. You know, it's funny, God is awesome. I can be talking about one thing and He can speak to you about something totally different. But whatever the decision is today, I pray that you would make it. Whether it's for salvation, you've never trusted Christ, you're not standing on that rock, and you don't know Him, and you're adrift, you're out to sea, and you just don't know which way's up. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can know which way's up, and you can know who's holding on to the anchor if you trust Christ today. But today, if you're saved, you need to let God be in control of your life. You need to trust Him. You need to follow Him. You need to do whatever it is that God spoke to you about today. You know, the further we get away from this moment right here, you walk out today. You know, you walk out the door today. And you don't do what God says to do today. Or you don't determine to do it. You say, I think about it. God help you, because you probably won't ever make that decision. You probably won't ever do it. The further you get away from this moment of decision, the less chance you'll make it. Man, if you had to grab somebody's hand and say, would you please walk with me? Whatever you need to do today, you make that decision today. You let God work in your life. You let Him be the Lord of your life, your rock, your refuge, your high tower, your strength. Lord, we just thank You today for all that You've done. Lord, I hope and pray today that people haven't seen me, but they've seen You. That they've heard Your message. That they know that You are the Creator. You are the rock. You're the anchor. And You're the one they need to trust in. That all of us here, Lord, are just people. We'll let You down. Whether it's the pastor or me or the staff, we're just human beings. But Lord, You never change. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You said You'd always be there for us. And You even carry us, as that poem says sometimes, footprints in the sand, that sometimes You even carry us because we can't even just move. But Lord, I pray today, whatever decision there is to be made today, whatever's going on in people's lives today, You know, Lord. Let Your Holy Spirit do its work today. And Lord, I pray that people will make those decisions, do those things that You've told them to do. Speak to hearts today, Lord. And remind us that we're here for You, to be made like You, and to be witnesses for You. And all of this other stuff, it's just build materials in heaven. You're going to build the walls out of diamonds and jasper, and then we're going to be walking on those streets of gold, and it don't make a hill of beans. You can't take it with you. So Lord, I pray that we would just focus on You, no matter what the situation, that we'd look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us despised the shame and endured the cross and has sat down at the right hand of God. And He's praying for us right now. He loves us and cares for us. So God, have Your way today. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you.